Amen.
Sherry.
Praise the Lord for my mother-in-law to be soon in 5 days. Yeah. Made it here safely.
Amen.
Terry helped me this week.
Their wedding's coming up on Friday. I got to get with Alan to make sure to include all the promises for Sherry.
I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. Eva, how are you doing today?
I'm just so glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here,
too. I just want to give God all the glory. For the last 2 months, I've been having to share my car with my son. And this
That's scary.
Yeah. Well, he's 60-some years old, so he's safe. And this week, I was so glad he got a car. The Lord knew I couldn't go any further sharing that car.
Amen.
So I'm just grateful.
Amen. Who else?
And also, I noticed Josh is not here. I'm pretty sure something's in progress.
Yeah,
we're waiting on the word. It's last update was things are going well, but he or she is not here yet.
Over to he or she comes before the service is over as well.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
I'm sure she's hoping it'll hurry up and come.
Yeah.
What?
She's
not like
she had the
other spring break. So is she actually in the hospital? She's waiting to have.
No, she's at home with the midwife.
Oh, they're having it at home.
And it's,
yeah, no, they're
and
getting it's, very close.
It's not and she is in labor.
Donna Boyd. Okay, this is from Donna Boyd. Her grandson's twins are finally home. They're 2 and 3 pounds at birth. They're now thriving with no complications. God is awesome. Thank you for your prayers.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Anybody else have a praise? Lisa?
Me and Daryl are purchasing some land in Santa Fe.
Ah.
That's good news.
You did what?
We signed a contract the other day.
Okay.
That was good for a half.
And to build a house, don't
you? Build a house.
So is it on Avenue E?
E and yes. A half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? That's here.
Oh,
you know. Lisa sent me the pictures. I just showed him the pictures.
Yes. I saw the class.
It's an exciting time.
It is very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so thrilled with them. I can't
keep them outside.
Is it new or used?
It's used dirt.
Yeah.
Being used by cows. Yeah,
they're not making any more of it. They say they're not making any more of that.
Not making any more. Oh, they're growing some good grass. But at least I managed to get me another spot.
Good.
Did you move your business down there?
Oh,
no.
Probably at least that building out and maybe move the business down.
Yeah. Anybody else?
The Lord's got plans.
Time to make another tie. I'll talk to you later.
Is that it? Are we done?
Well, I'm walking this morning. I was not going to see that way this morning.
She said, go sit down before you make a mess. I've pretty well gotten it down. I understand what she really means.
Yeah, of course. I would think after all these years, you should.
Yeah.
Y'all, if y'all are married or have a woman in your life,
ooh,
and you're a man, whether you know it or not, you're being trained. Like it or not.
Somebody's
got to train the men. There's nothing you can do about it, because if you get real close to their planes, they got a signal that goes out. They're getting close. They're getting close.
Well, there's several things about training. One of the things I heard about training was that if you're going to train a dog, you really need to be smarter than the dog. Thank you, Darla.
Okay, so people pleaser. I know when I got trained. We're happily coached.
And in most cases, that's pretty obviously true. So, all right, we're going to do a little bit of review in John chapter 9 and go on into 10. And we already been through most of 10, but we're going to look. We'll see how far we get. We might get to Lazarus. Lazarus is chapter 11, verse 1. So, there was something in John chapter 9 that I wanted to just mention today. There's Bubba and Vicki.
Yay. Hey. Good morning.
Oh, my son.
Did you bring it? Okay. I know you better.
You missed praise time.
Yes, I did. I praise my son is here.
Yep. He was... Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. No, he's not in the world anymore.
But he's still the light of the world.
We are his light.
Is he then? Because he said in Matthew 5:14, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. He talks about in Luke how that the children of the world are sometimes wiser than the children of light. Are you one of the children of light? If you are the light of the world, what should a light do?
Brighten the room.
Shine. Amen.
Light the darkness, yes.
Yeah.
Pierce the darkness.
Philippians 2:15. I just wanted to read this in connection with that thought. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, sometimes our life isn't doing much shining, but it needs to shine. How do we do that? All right, if someone's shining as a light in the world, the way Jesus is talking about, what should their life look like?
Somebody that might be encouraging others, or somebody that, you know, putting other people in their needs first before their own.
Okay.
Someone that's praising God.
Yeah.
Praising God. Yeah.
Praising the Lord. Giving him credit for
everybody. Like you said, just saying, what a beautiful day. You can say, what a beautiful day God gave us.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I like the youth group's mark, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that's first to glorify the Lord. I can't remember it all.
Well, Matthew 5:14, when Jesus said you're the light of the world, he said a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Our faith is not something that should ever be hidden.
That's right.
There's a difference between bragging and flaunting and, well, I'm a Christian, so you should do business with me and blah, 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 all those things. Light shines by example and by...
By the way that you conduct your business, by the way that you live your life, people should know that there's something different about you.
Yeah.
And they'll say, what you have, I would love to have what you have. Yeah. Light that shines on you.
All right. We'll move on into chapter 10. Chapter 10 is the sheep chapter. I know my sheep and am known of mine. They hear my voice and they follow me. When Jesus said here, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What does it mean to hear his voice? And do you hear his voice? Right now you're hearing my voice.
But what I get out of that is if someone I know dearly, like maybe my mom or dad, is calling my name, I recognize that voice.
Yeah.
You know, and I recognize it dear to me. Yeah.
And voice is the word, right?
It is.
And by doing what he says in the word, then we are following his voice.
Well,
and by hearing his word, you're hearing Jesus. There are several things that sometimes we don't connect. Your Bible isn't just a book or 66 books. It is the word of God, and Jesus is God. What it says in the book is what Jesus has to say. And not just the words in red. Where would the words in black come from?
God. Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
Came from the Holy Spirit. Who is?
God.
When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, what about the Spirit?
He's one with them also.
Same. You're made not only in the image, but in the likeness of God. Triune being. Body, soul, and spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
There's your comparison. When people are trying to illustrate the Holy Spirit, the three-in-one principle, there's a bunch of things that people use to illustrate that. They say, well, it's like an egg. There's a shell, and there's a white, and there's a yolk, but it's just one egg. And I guess that's okay. And I've heard of one with water.
Water, yeah, that's what I use, water, ice, and steam.
Plus steam is water, and ice is water, and liquid is water. Exactly. And yet they're all the same stuff, H2O. And that's okay, too. But the best illustration of all is God's illustration, how you're made. You have a spirit. It was dead in sins, but if you're born again, it's not anymore. And if your spirit is still dead in sins, there's one piece of you that's in great need. Jesus said that he that hears my voice and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And that's referred to in the scriptures as being born again. It's a must. It's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, he must be born again. So what happens when you put your trust in Jesus to save you? People say, well, I always trusted Jesus. Well, number one, no, you haven't. And you can't trust him for salvation until you learn about salvation. Until you understand what he did and why he did it. He went through what he did. He went to the cross. Well, it's right here. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. This is John 10:15. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Who are those other sheep he's talking about? That's us. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Well, this time of year is all about that. It's all about the resurrection. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. When you hear that verse, because there's a lot of opinion out in the world as to why Jesus had to die, why he was crucified. In Isaiah, it tells us very clearly, same thing we're learning right here. Laying his life down and taking it again was a commandment of the Father. Isaiah says of God the Father, yet it pleased him to put him, Jesus, to grief. There's an opinion as to God's absence when Jesus died on the cross. It's a bad opinion. It's not true. God was not absent. Not only was he not absent, he was the instigator of it. He put Jesus to grief. He put his son through this. You say, well, how could a father do that? He did it for you.
Because of his great love for us.
He did it for you and me. We, you know, sometimes Christians have a problem with recognizing their value. You ever feel worthless?
No, I
I have. But it's not, that didn't come from the voice of God.
No.
How do you determine if what something's worth? Now, Daryl's buying some land, and you know, he and Lisa are buying some land in Santa Fe. I'm not going to ask him what he paid for it or what he's going to pay for it, but how would he know whether he was paying too much or not? How does he find out what land is worth?
An appraisal.
How does that work?
See what everybody else is spending.
What's the official definition of what a piece of property is worth?
What people are willing to
pay. What someone is willing to pay for it. How does that fit in with you and the Lord? What was Jesus willing to pay for you? That tells me that you might be worth more than you think you are.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's some people you probably know that might be not worth near as much as they think they are. But if you are a child of God, you are worth a whole lot more than you think you are.
Why do we think that we're not worth enough?
Why do we? Well, look at what sin's done to us. If you compare yourself to other people, to your past, you could probably come to the conclusion you're not worth much. How do you know what you're worth? And who can tell you? Well, I found out, it took a while after I was saved, but I finally got the message. I found out I was who God says I am, not who the world thinks I am. Sure.
We've been watching this series on Pure Flex, which is a lot of Christian family news and stuff. And this girl was trying to be an EMT, and her parents were telling her she couldn't do it, she wasn't worth it, and they kept belittling her, and she almost quit, but somebody pointed out to her, because she said that she took that job because God led her to that job, but she almost quit. She says, are you going to listen to God or the lies that are being told to you, to your head? Why do you want to believe the lies if you said God brought you here? So a lot of times people make us feel like we're worthless, and we believe those lies instead of what God says about us.
Well, I don't know about you, but I am who God says I am.
Amen.
That's right. That's great. And that pretty much settles it. Somebody said, God said it and that settles it. That part's actually true. I forget the one that's not true. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, I'm sorry, God said it and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not. But,
that's right. But what the world says that you should be and what God says that you should be are very much...
very different.
Very different. And when you listen to the world and you say, okay, well, you know, the world says you have to be successful and have money and have all of these physical things, and you need the next latest and greatest iPhone and purse and clothing and house and right neighborhood and car and everything, and you don't have all those things and you're not successful. And that's not even close to what the Bible says. But the world hammers at you a lot more.
Well, having things is nice, and some of them are necessary. In this country, if we only operated on what's necessary, it would be a whole lot less than you are experiencing today. You know, on Friday, I'm probably going to remind Alan that his command is to love Sherry as Jesus loves the church. That can get pretty vivid pretty quick if you begin to think about what Jesus does for his church. Now, we're his church. This church is made up of people, not building and whatever. But the building is one of the things that Jesus does for his church. There's a whole bunch of things Jesus does for his church. We just finished voting on the budget. did you actually look at that thing? All the things listed there that gets going to be supplied for, who's doing all that?
The Lord. Got it.
It is. It's the Lord. He provides for us. When the Pharisees had put out a hit on Jesus, basically, they commanded, as if they felt they could, had the authority to do that, if anybody knew where he was, they were to tell them. And Jesus was, he was hanging out in Ephraim. Anybody know where Ephraim is? Ephraim's a small town, about 12 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It's almost due north. I'm looking over there. I don't see it on the map. It's a little small town. That's where he was hanging out when they issued that order. Why were they so worried about Jesus?
He'll mess up their plan.
He was messing up their plans. And he was doing miracles. And people were believing. One of the miracles, at the end of chapter 10, it says, and many believed on him there. He says here that John did no miracles. But everything that John said about Jesus was true. That's pretty good news, isn't it? All things that John spake of this man were true. And then this is where the story of Lazarus comes in. Let's go to down to about at least verse 20. Would you like to do some reading today?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mary. Chapter 11, read down through verse 4.
Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, for the Son of God might be glorified thereby.
All right. Can a sickness be for the glory of God?
Yeah. Everything is, yeah.
It was with Lazarus. All right, who wants to read verse 5 through 8? Sherry, go ahead.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?
That's a question. Are you going back there? They want to kill you. All right, verse 9 through 12. Who wants that? Francis, go ahead.
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus is dead, but I go, that I may awake him out of the sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well.
All right. 13 through, let's go down through 17. Who wants that one? Lisa?
Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already.
Thomas didn't have much confidence in them being able to survive going back down there with those, all those Pharisees looking for to kill them. All right, so 18 through 23. Who wants that one? Go ahead, Taylor.
Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house.
Keep going through 23.
Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
One more.
Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Martha was a little bit upset with Jesus, wasn't she?
Yeah.
If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Is that true?
Maybe, possibly.
Probably, yeah. Jesus has healed multitudes by now, and they've all seen it.
You know what else that says? She knows about the resurrection.
Yeah.
She's done studying.
Martha said to him, so 24 through 30. That's a pretty long one. Go ahead, Daryl.
Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Okay. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and called for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him.
Okay. He was coming, and she heard about it, and she went out on the road to meet him. And so that's what he's talking about. Verse 31 through 35. I'll take that one. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, now this is the same thing Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now the shortest verse in the Bible. Why did Jesus weep? Was he weeping for Lazarus?
No, he knew this was what it is. There's a reason for them.
He was weeping.
They
were hurting.
Same reason we were like teary last night with that other family, because they were grieving. You understand their pain.
When one of the sheep hurts, the other sheep hurt too. Who else hurts? The shepherd. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now they were being kind of a punk with their language here, but were they right?
I mean, he heals people all the time through prayer, even though he's not here, so I don't know what his physical presence would have made. I guess maybe back then people, because he was alive and present, they would think, he has to be here. But
I mean, how do we know that wasn't part of his plan?
It was part of his plan.
Yeah.
Plan's very clear here after you read the whole story. But they didn't know what the plan was. He told the disciples before they went back, 2 days back to Bethany, he said, this is not his, not unto death. The sickness is not unto death. But he did die. I mean, if you've been in a grave 4 days, wound up in those grave clothes, you're dead. It's no issue about it. And it says, and Jesus therefore again groaning in himself. That's, have you ever done that? Oh, man.
That's a big cry.
Yeah.
May not say the word, but it's in your gut. He cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Sound familiar? That's how they buried them.
That's how they buried Jesus.
And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Have they ever seen somebody come back from the dead before? They've never seen this. No, Mary and Martha and the people that were with them, they've never seen somebody raised from the dead before. I mean, Jesus has done that. Jairus' daughter and the young man that they carried out, he stopped the funeral procession and raised him from the dead. But they have never heard of anybody being dead for 4 days and coming back to life. And Mary said, as you tell what Mary said, Jesus said, take away the stones. She's like, what? He's stinking by now. I mean, it wasn't because he didn't wash his feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Not everything Jesus said between him and the Father was for his own benefit or for the Father's. When did Jesus, another time that Jesus prayed to the Father out loud to be heard, on purpose so that people standing by could hear?
On the cross. Was on the cross.
On the cross?
Yeah.
All right. I suppose that's true, but I'm thinking of another one.
And he was in the garden?
There you are. In the garden. What did he pray in the garden?
To take the cup from him and let it be his will.
He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.
Not my will, but your will be done.
Did Jesus know it was the will of the Father for him to go through what he had to go through?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He knew it.
Did
he think that there was some way around it?
No.
No. So why did he pray that prayer?
For everyone to hear.
He prayed that prayer so that we would hear.
Yeah.
And we do. It's recorded in the Word.
Yeah.
So they knew that he had to do that for us.
So that we all knew it was his choice, and it was the Father's choice. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. And he explained why he's doing this out loud. Because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I've heard this said before, but it was very fitting, I thought it would be good to conclude it today. Jesus called Lazarus by a name. And I've heard preachers say that if he hadn't called him by name, the whole graveyard would have got up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Just heard it was.
And it's true. It's true. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Now that napkin isn't what you have on your lap at dinner. It's a towel that they use to wrap the face of the dead. Very specific piece of cloth. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I'm going to quit there. When they told the Pharisees what they had seen, he put them into a state of chaos. They were freaking out. And it'll be really interesting as to what they said and what their motive was. They were convinced that they not only had to kill Jesus, but they had to kill Lazarus as well.
Yeah, isn't that something?
They said, if people find out about this, they're all going to believe.